Amen. Second Timothy is where we are this morning. We'll be closing up Second Timothy. Brian, I'm going to use mine. Hope you don't mind. We have the same Bibles, but mine's got my notes in there, so. The Lord stood by me. Today is, in your bulletin there is a notes page that you can take along if you'd like to take some notes. We'll be closing up 2 Timothy. I will not announce what book we'll be going to in February. Pastor Larry will be preaching next week. But it will more than likely be an Old Testament book. And just pray that we go right to the book that the Lord wants us to exposit next. So last week we talked about friends and foes. We went through a nice list of friends that the Apostle Paul had, but with this list we also realized there at the end they were not with him. Our memory verse this past week was that Luke alone was with him, right? And he said, get Mark and bring him with you because he's very helpful to me for the ministry. And key thing that we saw last week was the importance of networking. The importance of bringing other good, godly people around you. Friends that are not just going to be yes men. Friends that will challenge you, spur you on, push you closer to the Lord. And as we saw, Paul had some good friends that he could leave at work going on in a town or a village and move on to the next town or village and continue pressing on for the Lord. Good, godly men and women that he had around him. And today I want to focus on verses 17, 18, and 22. And I just wanted to touch on these three verses before we close out 2 Timothy because I think they stress something that is so important. And ironically, the Lord knew is exactly what I personally am trying to work on, as I shared the other day about Mark 4:40, that Jesus was right there in the boat asking the disciples, you know, why do you fear and have you still no faith? And just the challenge of as a pastor, wanting to make sure we make right decisions, not wanting to make decisions based on the flesh, as we're studying this morning in Genesis. And going through Genesis and looking at Lot and Abram. And Abram made decisions and had confidence the Lord was right there with him. And I want to make sure that the path that I continue to lead this church on is exactly where the Lord wants us to be and nowhere else. But as we look at this verse here, you know, we know Paul was alone. But here he says that the Lord stood by him, and it's all too often we forget, as it says in Romans 8:37, that no, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You know, it's something that I even teach my children now at a young age. I try to tell them, don't be afraid, you know, because Jesus is right there with you. But even some of us men, we would not admit it now in front of our wives, but some of us get scared in the dark sometimes, don't we? Especially if things are rustling or moving around, and we want to instill that in our children, but there's all too often we forget that the Lord is right there in the boat with us, as the disciples did, and we forget that we are more than just conquerors through him who loved us. So today we will look at the presence of the Lord in this passage and how from that presence he gained strength. But we will also see that the whole point of the Lord's presence was for his purpose. And we will look at that purpose. So those who can stand, please stand with me as we read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17, 18, and 22. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 22, the Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this time, this opportunity to go to your word. And I ask, Lord, that you work through me. Holy Spirit, be with my mouth, my thoughts. Let only what is shared today be what you want shared. May your words be proclaimed. We thank you for this opportunity for us to come together here. And I pray if anyone here not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they would make that happen today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. So here we see in verse 17, but the Lord stood by me. I love those words, but God, but the Lord. It's this idea of here we are as men, women doing something, getting nervous, things are falling apart, but God. Things are not going the way we thought it would, but the Lord. It's such a wonderful thing. And we think that here, he says, the Lord stood by me. He stood by me. We see this presence of God right there next to Paul. It wasn't something that was just there, that he was sitting next to him, that he was within my presence. But he said, the Lord stood by me. There's something powerful about that, because we think about a few verses back, he shared that many, no one was at my defense. No one stood up for me. But they all ran. So here we see the Lord standing. And back in 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, verse 8, we saw, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. The idea of the church was that we should share in one another's sufferings. That when one another are having a tough time, things are going rough, that we should share in those things. You know, when Sue shares the missions report every month, it's not something that we should take lightly, but really think about what's going on, especially when she shares of something that's going hard in the missions field. We should be praying and thinking about those things from there till the next report comes out and praying for them. Back in Acts, we know, here's Paul, Acts 23:11. The following night, the Lord stood by me and said, take courage, for as you've testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you will testify also in Rome. Paul told them, listen, you're going to testify in Rome. And he told them from the very beginning there, that night, the Lord stood by him and told them this. I like to flip back in the Old Testament. We think about, and in Exodus 33 here, and it says that in verses 13 through 16, now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, this is Moses here, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. There's Moses pleading to the Lord. And he says, listen, I want to find favor in your sight. Please show me now and consider this, that this nation that I'm leading are your people. And the Lord says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In verse 15, I love this. Moses says, he said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. I don't even want to leave. Lord, don't even allow us. Let there be a roadblock. Stop us so when I move forward, I know because I'm moving forward that means the Lord is with me. Verse 16, for how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of this earth? Folks, that verse 16 should be something that you should regurgitate. Bring it back up this week. Think about that. Are you distinct from the people of this earth? It's the presence of God in your life that makes it evident and obvious that there is something different about you. Moses says, listen, don't even let me move forward, God. I don't want to. If I get up and I can't move, I'm going to know that it's because you are not with me. Moses is dying off, and we know in Joshua chapter 1, and here he is. Joshua's got some big shoes to fill. A man like Moses was a man that just had the heart of God, but he also had a dying heart for the people. He loved the people. Even when they were murmuring against him, even when they were negative and even wanting to just turn around and go back to Egypt, Moses pleaded with God for them. And here's the changing of powers here. Joshua stepping out, and we look at verse 3. The Lord says, listen, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you just as I promised to Moses. He has this confidence. Now Joshua's thinking that remembering back about Moses, the leadership, he could remember the presence of God in Moses' life. Again, now in verse 5, it says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Joshua was able to walk with confidence because he knew that God was with him. And he was not just that, okay, how do I do this? But he could look back and think about how God was with Moses. He had a good godly man he could remember back and say, all right, God carried Moses through here, here, and here, and here. And God says, just like I was with you, with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. This standing by us gives us strength. Strength. And I'll continue on in verse 6 through 7. The Lord says, be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commands you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Why was his fathers not allowed into the land? Because they denied that God was with them. They thought, they looked at this land that was inhabited by these people that were giants, large, and they said, we can't do this. Because they forgot they are more than conquerors. They forgot that God was with them. And they disobeyed and went to the left and to the right, away from the law of Moses. There's a hang up here that if you want to be strong, you want to be very courageous, you walk with the Lord. You walk in obedience with God. There's an assurance you gain when you walk with God, when you obey the Lord. And then I skip down to verse 9. Verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Three times he emphasizes here in chapter 1, be strong. Secondly, be very strong, very courageous. Thirdly, be strong. Have I not commanded this to you? I'm not just asking you. I'm not just trying to spur you on. I'm telling you, be strong and courageous. Why did Moses want the presence of God? Because he wanted the rest of the world to see that he was doing what he was supposed to be doing. Moses needed it as a leader. Just as I myself beg and plead with the Lord that He will be with me as I lead this church. I don't want this church to be just like any other church. I don't want to copycat anything. I want this church to be distinct in this world. I want it to be evident and obvious that God is here standing with us. That I am not just going on and sharing just what Jesse feels like, what Jesse likes, what the world wants, what the world likes, what anyone else here wants. But I'm sharing the words of God and saying that, listen, folks, we need to be strong and courageous. But why? Why did he emphasize this? We look at this, we go to the New Testament, and we think about, here's the disciples. See, miracle after miracle after miracle with Jesus. Jesus is sleeping there in the boat, right? Right there with them. The last thing you would think to have, all of us would say, listen, if I could just see him right here next to me, I would be stronger, I could be bolder. No, you wouldn't. Because look at those disciples, right? They wake up Jesus. Come on, Jesus, we're going to die. Don't you care? The whole world is going crazy. And Jesus is taking a nap. I don't know if he was really sleeping. He could have been like, you know, like my daughter does, right? When she's being mischievous and I walk upstairs because I'm hearing banging and she's there like this. And then when I walk in, there's the one eye, you know. Is Jesus doing that? He's sitting there testing. his disciples, and he stands up and almost rebukes them and says, "What are you doing? Have you still no faith? Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" You remember in the Old Testament, right? Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why did the Lord reiterate this over and over and over? Why does, here he is, Jesus, with the men he chose. Why does he have to tell them again? Because we are weak. Because, folks, we get scared. Because as the Apostle Paul here, the man that we would all uphold and say, "What a man of God." All of his friends, they took off. They got scared. And you say, "Well, I mean, they should have just stood by Paul, right?" Folks, Nero was taking Christians and gutting animals and sticking them inside of these animals, sewing them shut, and throwing them out in the Colosseum for people to watch as they released the dogs on them. Can I get a quick hand risen? Let's run down there and check this out? No. It was scary. Nero lit Christians on fire to have garden parties so that he could have his backyard lit up. It was scary, folks. Here's Joshua. He's the new leader. There's a lot of people here. He's got to remember that it was only him and Caleb, his family. He had to watch. Imagine what that was like going around in the wilderness, realizing that just a few more people got to die so we can keep going forward. Looking at, watching that, seeing these people die off, knowing that God wanted this entire generation out of here before he would have let the people of Israel go forward. Joshua was taking on a new position. He needed the Lord to be stern with him. He needed the Lord to command him in verse 9. To be strong. And we know as you go through the book of Joshua, if you read it, that he does make mistakes as a leader. He still does. But there's evidence that the Lord stood by him. And I just think about, in my own life, is the importance of people standing by you. You know, you think about, and this is what happens when you sit in the front row. Brian, can you come here? So, no one's going to sit in the front row next week. So if I was going to someone's going to have a disagreement with me, okay? And they're about my size, right? And Larry's looking at him thinking, like, this is the guy I'd want standing by me, right? Because what do I gain with having this guy standing by me?
Intimidation
of the other party, right? Because he's not a little guy, right? You don't bring the little guy with you, right? You know, you don't bring knives to a gunfight, right? We're all thinking about these things, right? You bring somebody bigger with you. You know, you don't have a bodyguard that's a tiny guy, right? You have a bodyguard that's a bigger guy. But honestly, as I think about that missionary that came years ago, and he kept reminding us that, and I can't forget this, that why do we as Christians tell God how big our problems are? We should be telling our problems how big our God is. I mean, I got a big guy next to me. I'm not going to be going to a fight and getting all nervous because I got a big guy next to me. Now, if his guy's bigger, I'm going to be like, "All right, we messed up here." But I don't have to worry about that with the Lord, do I? My Lord stands next to me. Here's Paul. He's saying, "Everyone's fleeing. The place is empty. Here I am with all enemies against me. But I got Jesus Christ standing right next to me." Okay? Thanks, Brian. I mean, just that thought in your mind should be, I mean, here's the Apostle Paul. You say, "Wow, how could he be so bold? How could he be so like?" Well, because he pictured Jesus standing next to him. And he didn't forget about who Jesus was. He remembered Jesus was, he was the man, the God-man that came down, the God-man that they killed and sacrificed on a cross. They threw him in a grave, and he said, "That's not going to slow me down. 3 days later, I'm out of here. I am God." That's it. Jesus Christ said, "I am God. You're not just a man." This is the one that stood next to him. But why? Why would God do all this? There's a purpose, right? The purpose was not to lift up Paul. The purpose was not so that everyone can say what a man Joshua was. The purpose was not to say that Moses was the man. As we know, Paul and Barnabas, when they went into a town, a village there, the people got down and worshipped them. He said, no, what are you guys doing? I'm just a man. I'm here to proclaim the message. You see, the purpose here is the gospel to be proclaimed. The gospel to be proclaimed. Look at there in verse 17, it says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. Not one or two, not a few, but all of them. How would that happen though? See, the thing is, the Roman government, though it was not a good government, though it did some wretched things, when it came to court, they allowed people to come forward and speak. Now, why would all the people flee and not come forward and speak? For the obvious reasons. Okay, now you're with this guy, okay? Why don't you join him on the other side now, right? There was always that chance. People got nervous, they ran. But they would give the person an opportunity to speak for themselves before they executed him. And what does Paul do? He says that, listen, I'm a really good guy. You know, I've been healing people town to town. I don't see why you wouldn't want me in your village, right? I mean, the Rome would need this. I should set up a hospital. We should heal people. This is what I'm here about. Okay, I'm just here to help you, help your government. No. He takes his opportunity to do what? To fully proclaim the message so everyone can hear it. Knowing that this message is just going to, you know, he's already got, now we know the message, okay? It wasn't like it was hidden. It wasn't like someone came forward and said, this is what he said, and Paul's like, I'm not going to talk about it. He just fully proclaims it to the entire court. Maybe Nero was there himself. So that when Nero died, he could go before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he could never say that, well, I never heard this message. He's going to go before Jesus Christ that day and say, I executed the man that proclaimed this message. He couldn't go to hell and say that, well, I never heard about it. Oh, it was fully proclaimed. See, Paul, what did he tell Timothy back in verses 1 and 2? He said, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. What does in season and out of season mean? It means when you're in jail and out of jail. It means when you're in life and out of life. It means that no matter what's going on, you are sharing and proclaiming and preaching his word, God's word. Do it with all patience and teaching. Paul was ready. It wasn't just some lip service he was giving to the world saying that you need to get ready. Folks knew he was living the way he was preaching. John 14:26, Jesus said this, right? But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring you to remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus had to leave so the Holy Spirit could come, so that while I was here or you were there, we could proclaim the message of the Lord, because the Holy Spirit is right in there within us, helping us proclaim the word. We shouldn't get so nervous, folks. Remind yourself, I am more than conquerors because of the love, through the love that's in Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ left so that he can send the Holy Spirit, so that he could help me remember everything that I have studied. It doesn't mean that you just say, oh, well, the Holy Spirit can give me all the remembrance that Jesus said, so I don't need to study anymore. How are you going to know what Jesus said unless you read it? Okay? You got to get in there and read it. I mean, it's amazing. As we do a memory verse every week, and you'll notice in your bulletin's top left corner there, I gave you two this week, because I'm not preaching for another 2 weeks, so we should be able to do two verses, right? But how do we do this? You know what's amazing is that there'll be times that someone will ask me a memory verse, one of you or another Christian, and I'm having a hard time digging it up. But the other day, I sat down with a guy at breakfast, and he asked me questions that I couldn't believe. It was nothing to do with work. And I was able to sit there and go through these verses. I felt like I was a Bible flipping open. But why should I be surprised? Right? Jesus promised. The Holy Spirit will give you remembrance of everything that I've said. Paul had strength. He had boldness. He spoke up. because Jesus stood by him, and he knew that the whole reason Jesus stood there was to proclaim the message. But the strength was given to him. Why? Because the key thing that was given to him was salvation. Salvation. See, those who don't have salvation don't fully understand things like this. That's odd to them. How could you have that? How could you have boldness? How could you have that strength? Well, they don't understand it because they don't have the taste of sweet salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. For I deliver to you as of the first importance that what I also received. Okay? First importance, it wasn't something I came up, this is what I received. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. That He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Folks, this is painted all through the Scriptures. This is what we should be proclaiming, is the Scriptures. It's we fall into problems and issues with all kinds of things in society. Yes, they're going to come after us for the Scriptures. But all too often you see more leadership and issues within a church when you step away from the Scriptures. It's when you have to go and discuss things that have nothing to do with Scripture things that all of a sudden things are happening. The confidence, the unity should always be here on the Scriptures. Salvation is painted right through there. We see that Jesus Christ came, that as Jesus told us, no man, no one will come to the Father except through me. He says that I am the way, the truth, the life. Not one way, one truth, one life. It's the truth, the life. No other one. No one will get here except through Jesus Christ. But what we see beautifully here is that Paul has salvation, but he's also saved. Saved bodily here. He says there in the end of 17, so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'd like to read in John 17. John 17, I call this one the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus was praying for his disciples, and He even prays for you. Verse 15, He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, Jesus talking to God. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of this world, nor am I of the. I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, so they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but here you go, right here. Jesus Christ on earth was praying for you, but also for all those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. What does Paul say there? He says that God will protect me. God will bring me through these things. God will take me from here. He will rescue me from every evil deed, and to the point that He will bring me safely into the heavenly kingdom. He says, but Paul was killed. Pastor, I don't know if you read the rest of the book. Paul was killed. He fulfilled his purpose. John the Baptist was killed. He fulfilled his purpose on this earth at that time. Do you have a doubt that he was brought safely into the heavenly kingdom? Because I don't. The whole point there is God will protect you from every evil deed and bring you safely into the heavenly kingdom. Paul had that confidence. There was a purpose he was there at that court. And you know what else? Where was he taken from the court? He was brought right to the prison cell. Where he got to do what? Write his last words, folks. I mean, without a doubt, I think the 2 Timothy was just a precious book to all the churches. Last letters. See, if things didn't happen the way they did, if he was killed earlier, then this might not have happened. We got this precious book here because Paul was rescued from the lion's mouth for a purpose, to proclaim the word at that court and
and to write these words to Timothy, because Timothy was taking the torch from here. Why does the Lord do all this? Because of 2 Peter 3:9, right? Because the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises. Some count slowness, right? People are like, Jesus, where are you? Look at the world. Look at the things that are going on. Well, He's not slow. He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. There's souls Jesus still wants to save. There's souls that Jesus wants to see come to Him. There's souls that He wants to take and safely bring to the heavenly kingdom. That's His whole purpose on this earth. The purpose is not to set up heaven on earth. It's not to make this place perfect. It's not to set up utopia here. It's His purpose is that His message would be proclaimed. That His followers would stand out distinctly from this world. That it would be evident and obvious that God's hand is on these people. As we're studying there in Genesis, that Abram, it was obvious God's hand was on him. As he was obedient and walked with the Lord, people could just see. And it says that people watched and were awed. They were watching this man, watching these thousands of people moving through like nomads through the land. But something about them, they were blessed, they were protected. Folks, that's what the Lord wants to do here. Yes, there will be times that death will come. There will be times that things will fall apart. There will be time, but what does He say there at the end of 18? To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul didn't want glory. Paul didn't want recognition. None of us should. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ being lifted up. It's all about us getting out of the way and let Him receiving the credit. Nothing to self. Folks, this is why we talked about last week. The importance of having good, godly friends. I agree that sometimes there's times that we need to be friends, befriend someone to lead them to the Lord. But let that be your purpose. As we learned about there in Lot, Lot took his whole family and stuck them right in there. In Sodom. And that infectious disease of sin went right inside his family and he ended up getting dragged out when they got taken over. All because he took his family there. You need to be cautious, careful. Understand your purpose and plan, but protect your family as you do it. Make sure you have good, godly friends around you. Friends that will spur you on, push you on. As we saw here, Luke alone was with him. Why did he want Mark? Because he wanted the ministry to carry on. He had good, godly men that though he be taken off this earth, he knew the message would continue on. That he was not numero uno, the only one that could do this. He knew the message would go on. God was giving him this message. God was giving him the strength. And God would do the same for Timothy, for Mark, for Titus, for these men, for Luke to go on, to press on, to continue pushing this forward. And the Lord will do the same for each of us here. And you may say, well, Pastor, listen, I'm scared. I get nervous. I feel weak at times. Like, I can't do this. As we saw, it's normal to feel that way because we are flesh. We compare flesh on flesh all the time. We get all nervous and say, well, that guy's stronger. That person at work, man, they just know more about the Bible. They seem to know more about this. They're so much more confident. Maybe you need to build up your confidence. Get your nose in the book and study it. Dig into the Sunday school class and exposit through each book as we do this. Old, New Testament, Old, New Testament. We bounce them back and forth. Getting to know our scriptures. Have a daily quiet time with the Lord. Walk in understanding of Jesus Christ so He can bring to remembrance the things that you read this morning. Well, I'm not kidding when I tell you that there's days I do my quiet time and somebody asks me that exact question during the day. You look like a theologian. I mean, I'm serious. They ask you a question, you're like, actually, in Mark 4:40, he said this. And they're like, wow, watch this guy. I mean, he's quoting the verses and everything. The confidence you gain when you walk and talk with the Lord. And I would like to close in the same way that Paul did there. Verse 22. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. And we sang about that this morning, right? But the grace of God. It was actually in a devotional this morning from Truth for Life. Charles Spurgeon's old morning and evening. You know, it's because of God's grace that we even have an opportunity for salvation. And a lot of us would like to tell God how to do things on this earth. But a lot of us forget that if we switched roles, maybe that probably we wouldn't even save a soul like us. We give up on people. We give up on friends so easily. The Lord is constantly just showering us with grace, opportunities. And what's amazing is that even here's the Apostle Paul acting like a man, standing up for what's right, proclaiming the message, wants no recognition. May all the glory, everything, go to Jesus Christ. Amen. And every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want to give us an opportunity here as we close out 2 Timothy and just on the thought of the presence and purpose of Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and no one looking around. Just everyone just have a moment here to think about. Check yourself. Maybe you say that, Pastor, listen, I don't feel this presence. I don't feel like God's standing next to me. I want that relationship. I want to have confidence in self that Jesus Christ is standing next to me. I don't remember a day that I repented of my sins and turned to Jesus Christ. I don't remember a day that I truly lean on Christ and Christ alone, that I said, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, the life. I can't remember a day that I just asked Him to save me. Anyone here, no one looking around, like slip their hand up. And right now, you want to pray that. You want to pray and ask Jesus Christ to save you. The rest of us, I would really like to challenge all of us, myself included, as I was in preparing this message, to ask God to forgive us for our lack of faith. Ask God to forgive us when we are acting fearful of this world. Ask God to help you to be reminded of Romans 8, that I am more than a conqueror. That I am not a defeated foe. That my Savior is not dead in a grave. That my Savior lives. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. It's all done. Jesus has gave us the last book. He wrote it out for you so you can have even more confidence than anyone else in the history of the Bible can say that I know the end. I know He will win. Father God, I ask, Lord, that You would help us, Lord. Lord, that we as a church, at center point, As we have a heart's desire, as I have a heart's desire to see Gilliland Center reached. Thousands of souls out here, Lord, and You know each one. We intercede and ask and pray, Holy Spirit, that You would go behind closed doors and touch souls and minds, that folks would see that there is something distinctly different about this church than any other church around. But it's evident and obvious, God, that You stand here. Lord, I do not want to proceed unless You are standing with us. Lord, please help us to be strong and courageous, to be very strong and courageous. Let us not forget that You told us to be strong and courageous. Lord, please just guide us. Lord, Lord, I pray that you would work on hearts and minds here today, that we would walk out of here with confidence, Lord, that our Lord stands by us, but not forget the purpose of the strengthening, the purpose of the standing, is the message be proclaimed. Please help us, Lord, that the message of Jesus Christ would be on the tip of our tongue, that it be on the forefronts of our minds, that as people talk to us, it just spews out. That as people converse and ask why, what is going on, that we not take glory. We receive it from them, but give it right back to you. And we say that it's because of the work of Jesus Christ in my life. Lord, I pray this, and I thank you, Lord, because you promise that as we ask for wisdom, as we ask for strength, as we ask for it in the right mind, that you'll give it. And give it in ways that we've never felt before. We thank you, Lord, and we look forward to what you will do as we walk obediently, confidently, within your presence. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.